Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show. I'm your host, Elijah Winfrey, joined each week by my fabulous, wonderful, and super talented co-host, Tony Boucher. Yes, Tony is back. We're excited for today's show, folks. We have two tremendous guests that are on the show today, and I can't wait to talk to them about something that I am currently processing or trying to work on in my head. It's all about the Inclusion Summit. So can't wait to get these folks on. But before we do, let's get you caught up on our past weekend. Tony, I know it's been 2 weeks since you were here and you were missed greatly. How have you been and what have you been up to?
Oh my goodness, I missed you guys too. So it's so good to be back. So I have been up to a couple personal things. My youngest son, Adrian, is 9, and he was referred to the Medical University for an autism evaluation, and he received that diagnosis. And so then we ended up having to do a battery of neuropsych tests and things, which all ended up being scheduled at the time when the show is. So that's why I had to miss it, because when the doctors schedule something, you go. So on my personal front, that's what's happened here is, taking care of that. And then I've been spending a lot of time on my women's group, because I know I'd mentioned the gals in my Sunday afternoon group are making jewelry that they're going to be selling for the holidays. And so we've had a lot of fun planning, how we're going to do that, setting the date and deciding all the items we're going to sell and pricing them. So the girls are getting an opportunity to develop some business skills, which I'm really excited about, because a lot of these girls on the spectrum will really do better if they can find something that they're really passionate about and do more of a self-employment kind of model versus working the 9-to-5 job. So it's really fun to see them growing and taking risks and doing some things to gain some skills on that front. So, but enough about me. We haven't talked in the past couple of weeks, so I'm excited to hear what's been going on for you.
Well, it's been a lot of downtime, and I'm continuing to confirm guests for the show, which is great. The list is really long.
Nice.
I spent a lot of family time this past weekend. My wife and I are pretty busy now, and we get into this time of the season where, my nonprofit, we start to identify families who, won't get to have the type of holiday cheer that, we all get to celebrate from time, every year. So we're working on that. I'm going to attend a coffee chat at South Shore Elementary School and kind of listen to some of the families talk about their needs and talk about things that they're struggling with and within the community and try to help out there. But how I am, Tony. It seems like it's slow, but it's really kind of busy. From a mental standpoint, it's been okay. I've had moments, recently where it was a little difficult, but, all in all, everything is well. I'm excited to see, things that I'm currently working on within the nonprofit, come to fruition here as we head into November and December, as we close out the year strong. It was a good weekend, but you were missed. I must say I had tons of emails asking me, when are you going to return? And, they missed hearing your voice on the show. And so I had to email a couple of folks back and say, hey, she's here. She'll be back. Family comes first, that's first and foremost. So I'm glad you're back, and I'm glad we can update the listeners on what we've been up to. Now, let's get to today's show, Tony. And, the topic today is a fascinating one, because as most of the listeners know, I've been thinking about, creating this summit. And Tony, we've talked about it on the show, where I kind of see this Disney World kind of summit that, I want to put together for families and, to come together and share ideas and things of that nature. Our guest today they just completed their inclusion summit, Spectrum Lights Inclusion Summit, if I'm not mistaken, and it was a success. And I wish I could have attended. I do hope to attend, you know, next year. But it was from reading everything that I see come across the Facebook feed, it was tremendous. And our
That's
guest
great.
Today,
yeah, I'm really excited to hear.
Yeah, so we have Samantha Kraft and J. David
Yay.
Hall on the show. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
Thank you. It's nice to listen, get an update on what's been happening in both your lives as well. We're really glad to be here. My name's Samantha Kraft. That's my pen name, my author's name, and my legal name is Marcel Champy, and I'm here with J. David Hall. David?
Yes. Well, I'm new to the show and new to meeting Elijah. I formed Life Guides for Autism Neuro Guides about 3 years ago. It's a 501c3 nonprofit in response to what I saw evidence of just terrible outcomes for autistic adults, particularly here in the United
mm-hmm.
States, severe anxiety, chronic depression, an astoundingly high unemployment rate, and
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, tragically, suicide rate that's estimated to be 9 times the national average. So something had to be done. So I formed my organization to specifically stand in the gap for autistic adults to change outcomes. And in 3 years' time, in working with dozens of autistic adults, we have seen transformational, absolutely amazing outcome changes for those folks we've served.
And I had the pleasure of being a guest. I think it's been over a couple of years ago, hasn't it, Elijah? It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
So lots has been happening on my end. I'm the senior recruiter and outreach specialist for Ultra Testing, and they're a company that's based out of New York, founded by two MIT graduates. And the company's been around for about a little over six years, and I've been with the company for 5 years. And they have an autism hiring initiative. And largely of what I do is created the recruitment process based on best practices for the general population and for people on the autism spectrum. I also do the hiring and screening and do outreach calls around the world with people like yourselves that are connected to the autism community and want the best outcome for neurodivergent individuals. In addition, I have contributed to 2 books. My first book was Everyday Asperger's, and my second book that I contributed to is Spectrum Women Walking to the Beat of Autism. And I work with David under his NeuroGuides company. I have my own company at myspectrumsuite.com. Suite is in an office building. And David and I travel and we do keynotes, workshop presentations, and corporate training, all related to empowering the autistic individual and best inclusive practices in the workplace. I'm on the autism spectrum. I have Asperger's syndrome. So does my middle son, who's now 20. And David is also on the Asperger's or autism spectrum. He has Asperger's syndrome. And his 3 children are also on the spectrum as well.
It is so great to have you all on the show and to discuss, you know, what's going on in the community, which is so important. And, you know, I just read recently about the Microsoft visit that you both had. And you know, it seems like, you know, we're continuing to make sure that we are changing this world for the better. Can you talk a little bit about that visit? How was that meeting there at Microsoft?
Well, it was, first of all, a lot of fun. Some absolutely brilliant, insightful people. We met with several of the design teams, hardware design teams, and especially those working on the new Surface Pro edition of their laptop computers. We were received warmly. It was such an opportunity to speak about autism, to talk about neurodivergent thinkers and their interactions with technology. And, you know, overall, it was just fantastic. We were very warmly received, and it was an exciting opportunity.
We worked with Bruce Johnson, who's one of the heads of the inclusivity department there, and they have this fantastic room where They have all different types of prototypes and ideas to help people of all different types of disabilities and needs. And it was great to see the interaction with the team members was very open and warm, and they were eager to learn more about the autism spectrum and ways that they could adapt their computers to help with our culture, our people. So that was very encouraging to see. We were able to talk for almost 3 hours nonstop straight to team members about what it was like to live on the autism spectrum and what types of coexisting conditions that we often face. And that one of the main things that I emphasize and David emphasized is that autism itself for us is our neurology. It's who we are. It's our personhood. It's our personality. It's the way we think, process, communicate. And that for us, it's who we are as an individual and as a culture. And when we're talking about the challenges, we prefer to talk about the coexisting conditions that come along with being on the autism spectrum, whether that's sensory difficulties or communication challenges or generalized anxiety disorder, OCD, dyspraxia, dyslexia. And we talked about how most people on the spectrum have at least one, if not several, coexisting conditions. I myself have probably at least 10 coexisting conditions that come along with my diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So the emphasis was really on the positive aspects of living on the autism spectrum, but the challenges of the coexisting conditions and what strengths those can bring as well. And it was a very engaging, productive conversation, and we left invigorated and energized and very pleased with Microsoft's efforts.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, so not only the intersection of Microsoft and their hardware and how they can be helpful to alleviate a lot of anxieties and technology gap with people with disabilities of all types of disabilities. But, you know, also just a great moment to speak into, you know, the understanding of some of these, you know, they're brilliant people. But as you both know, there's unfortunately a lot of very bad information out there about autism and a lot of very old stereotypes. And you know, as I tell people when I speak and when I teach and when I work with my clients one-on-one, you know, there's so much of this deficit model thinking that has gone on for the last few decades. And as I tell people, deficit model thinking works fine if you're in medicine because, you know, you go to the doctor with a broken bone, a broken arm, and, well, that's a deficit. You've got something is very visibly broken there that needs to be fixed. But with autistic persons that we serve and that we interact with, including ourselves, you know, autism by itself is simply a neurological different way of thinking and mental processing. Then, of course, with some people, you add in coexisting conditions. Some autistic people don't have any coexisting conditions, just like some non-autistic people have medical coexisting or existing conditions. So, you know, it was just a great opportunity to speak into that understanding and see eyes light up and brighten, and people ask great questions about sensory issues, about the reality of what it's like being an autistic person. So I enjoyed it. You know, it was we've had several events, speaking events and engagements since the Spectrum Lights Inclusion Summit, but that was definitely a highlight.
Outstanding. You know,
yeah.
Go ahead, Tony.
I think you guys used a really important word that is not used often enough, and it's culture. And so I would love to see how the summit tied in with that and to have more of a discussion about that concept of how we create a culture that's supportive of folks on the spectrum. And that is, you know, for our people to be able to establish that healthy autistic culture, which I think is crucial if we're going to be addressing, you know, the problems that we're facing. So I'd just like to hear more about that. And maybe that ties into your summit.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a wonderful topic. It is, you're right, it's a very important subject. And one of the reasons we created the Spectrum Lights Inclusion Summit was because we wanted to bring the autism culture, the autism people together, autistic people together. And what ended up happening with the summit is we had people from all around the world, mostly from the United States, New York, California, Washington, fly in, and some drove in. And we had one speaker or one guest from Australia actually come in as well. We ended up with over 35 adults on the autism spectrum or those with similar profiles in our home for 2.5 days. We had breakout sessions, all different topics, led by mostly all autistic people in an area that they felt comfortable leading a session. And we called them session hosts. We call the whole event an unconference. I'll let David speak on that in a minute. Our focus was to pull away from having hierarchies and people that were teachers and instructors and base it on a family gathering feeling. And we're all on equal level. Mm. We're all community members. And there's been empirical studies out in the last 6 months that have demonstrated that autistic people, when they're with their own people in their own culture, they'd have no communication deficits and no social skill deficits. And that's what we really observed when we were here for those over 2 days, is we did not experience any type of deficit when we were amongst each other. We communicated well, we had engaging conversations, and what we heard repeatedly over and over and over again, I can't even keep count, is how kind everyone was, how welcoming and encouraging. So it was a very beautiful experience, and we plan on having a 2020 event. There's a local woman on the spectrum, Molly, who has agreed to take on the lead of the next year's summit, and we'll be helping her as well. We're trying to pass it on for some new insight and new leadership, but definitely want to be part of it. And I'll let David speak on the unconference idea.
Yeah, thanks, Marcy. Absolutely. You know, it would be very difficult for me to overstate the significance of that cultural social deficit model that's often mm-hmm. projected, where, you know, it's like, well, oh, they just, you know, they struggle with social interactions, conformity, you know, that's why they don't make eye contact, and just on and on, this whole social deficit model. And I'm going to tell you, from what I saw, I'm going to ask, whose deficit? Is it neurodivergent autistic mm-hmm. person, or is it a neurotypical culture? Because when 35 people came together, I have never witnessed such an uncanny, amazing, absolute relational connectivity time mm-hmm. as I saw. It absolutely threw on the ground that whole notion of social deficit model. It wasn't there. It was as
that.
If these autistic persons were all on the same radio frequency. They were all connected. We all connected. It was a beautiful moment. So there's something to that. There's something profound there that needs mm-hmm. to be discovered, and we need to change that narrative, change that dialogue. So, you know, that was one thing. And again, the unconference. So there are more than a few at any one moment autism conferences going on throughout the United States and worldwide. And, you know, you go and you pay your fee, you get your name tag, you get a chicken salad sandwich, you sit and listen to people speak, and then they leave. And I thought to myself, if we don't do something that's going to allow people the opportunity, this window to relationally connect with one another, then why are we just doing another autism conference? And so we didn't.
Right.
And what I've noted about conferences, because I've been to several in the last 5-6 years, conferences that not even are specifically autism in the title, perhaps a recruiting conference or a vocational counseling conference, those type of areas, is more than not, I'd say 99% of the time, someone's getting up in front who is not on the autism spectrum, and they're talking about what it's like to be on the autism spectrum,
yes.
what our needs are,
yes.
what our challenges are, what our strengths are.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the sayings that the autism culture has borrowed from another disability movement is nothing about us without us. And so we're encouraging, and we're seeing more and more autistic people going up front. And the way I explain it at Ultra Testing, when I do my outreach calls, or even when I used to advise the CEO when I first started working there, because they wanted to know more and more about the autism culture, because it's a distinct culture. is that if we substituted autistics with any other minority, whether it was a person of color or a gender, et cetera, some of the practices that are going on would be blatant discrimination. You wouldn't put a panel of all men on stage to talk about how to include women in the workforce more.
That is so true.
A lot of things that are happening at a convention I was at 2 years ago, they had all different types of people with disabilities get on stage and represent themselves and talk about their life and their strengths and challenges, which was wonderful. But then when it was the autistic time for their representation, it was a large agency. It wasn't an autistic person. And what we're seeing a slow trend in that change, and it's slowly changing, where, you know, they might have a panel of autistic people, but still, again, it's the non-autistic people that they're expected to thank. You know, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity. Again, if you substituted it, for example, with a panel of people with color, if you put them all in chairs on stage and had white men standing behind them and they were saying, oh, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity, it would look ridiculous. It would be terrible. But for some reason, right, it's okay with the autistic population. And so we're really trying to change that paradigm. And one of the things we teach in our corporate trainings and in our writings, we're both writers. You can find both our writings on LinkedIn as well as the Aspergian.com is a fantastic resource, and I can send that link to you, Elijah, if you need it spelled out later.
Absolutely.
So one of the things we train about and we write about is the concept of inclusivity and what inclusion looks like and how it's different than diversity.
Yes.
And that so many of these autism hiring initiatives, and now they're going to be calling them neurodiversity hiring initiatives, it's a pendulum swing, are focused on how to get a person through the door who's
in the door
who's cognitively diverse, and then once they're through the door, there is no plan. Very limited plan, maybe an outsourced vocational counselor that's funded through the government.
Well, it's even worse than if you'd done nothing at all. It actually is, because now you've got someone inside the workplace, and they're floundering. It's terrible.
So we're working to change
I'm so glad to hear that, guys, because I'm out in the field working with my clients, and oftentimes they are able to get in the door, but it's maybe with a little bit of help from Voc Rehab, which is a 90 days in, and then you close the case. And it might not, you may not have issues until, you know, 6 months, 12 months down the road, in some cases. And so it's really crucial to get the support throughout. You cannot just throw somebody in. I'm really happy to hear that. It's very exciting, guys. Way to go.
Yes. Absolutely.
Holly,
absolutely.
Well, that's our little senior labradoodle, and my youngest son just came home, so sorry if there was any noise there.
No worries at all. Let me ask you this. When did you both know that this summit was something that you both wanted to do? When did it hit you that, hey, let's do this. This is needed right now. Let's make it happen.
This is actually something I had thought of 3 years ago, and I tried to bring a team together. And what I was finding is so many of us, especially if they're on this autism spectrum, have a lot of other directions we're being pulled in, a lot of other responsibilities, and it was really hard to pull a team together. And so I put it on the back burner. And then when I met David earlier in 2019, we discussed that we both had this passion to have an inclusion summit. And David was like, I'm on board. What can I do? What can I do to help you? What can I do to help you? And he flew out and we started planning the summit together. And we decided, like, you know, let's just start from something simple and basic and small and build from there. Because if we keep waiting to get this large committee together and this planning,
right,
you know, planning for a year, it might never happen. It already been several years. And so we just went for it. We actually planned it in about 3 months. It was a lot more work than I had counted on. but it was much, much worth the effort. I have a teaching background. I used to be a school teacher. And so that came in really handy in some of the planning and organizing of the workshops. It was a lot of work, but a lot of reward, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. We met with one of the participants last night, and they spoke just warmly about how the connectivity, the relational connectivity alone, that component was just really transformative.
So I'd like to speak on that. I'm glad you said that. You reminded me of something. One of the attendees flew out from Houston, Texas, Heidi, Dr. Heidi Hamm, and she has a degree in psychology. And she has a great not-for-profit called Spectrum Fusion. And by her being here, she was able to connect to some autistic people that were unemployed, two particularly gentlemen who are brilliant that both David and I have the pleasure of knowing. They're brilliant, they're well-educated, well-spoken, excellent writers. One of them is an excellent researcher. And they're both looking for jobs. And Spectrum Fusion is pulling together a training team and a coaching team of autistic people. And so she was able to connect to them and connect to me and David as well.
Right.
And so there's a strong possibility. So even some of the people at the summit will now have a means of gainful vocation, of gainful employment. And not only that, but there were friendship connections, people that stayed connected through LinkedIn, Facebook. So sometimes with the being on the autism spectrum, there's a lot of isolation, and we're hoping that the summit stopped some of that for some individuals.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I think it did. From everything that I saw and read, it was tremendous, and you know. It's something that, you know, I'm continuing to work on, and sometimes you're right, Samantha, you start small and you build. And, you know, I'm starting to learn that as I try to put together a summit of my own. And, you know, I know that it's going to take a lot of work in that process. But to see the success and what you've built and continue to build and to branch out and to help others, I think it is so important, you and David. I think this is what it's all about. You know, one of the things that I often hear a lot from families, and this will be the last question to you. I know we're all busy today, but, you know, after graduation, you know, families often say, well, you know, I don't know what's next for my child. It seems like once we get through high school, then what? You know, it seems like everything stops, and then there's the struggle begins again. So are there any tips, any information you could offer the listeners who are listening to the show today who have questions like that? You know, what are ways we could help them post-graduation? Because I get that a lot.
Yeah, we get that a lot as well. There'll be oftentimes that I give a presentation, and more recently David and I give presentations together, where it's to a group of professionals, but then they'll have one or two professionals in that crowd that is a parent to a person who's autistic or has Asperger's syndrome, and they will come up with that very similar question. So you're right on with that. We're actually going to be speaking on this topic in Seattle in early December to a group of about 50 parents. So we've been talking about this and having discussions about it, and I also have given presentations on this topic. The Southwest Western Washington Autism Conference, that's coming up in early November in Centralia, in case you're interested. And David and I, well, I'll be speaking there. David will be attending on this topic, actually, about how to empower autistic people. So one of the things I strongly recommend is a mentor, someone who's on the autism spectrum that has had some success, whether that is with friendships or with work or with volunteer work, and that they can mentor the individual as a friend or as an older mentor. And the most important part about that is because, again, it's that culture. It's having someone in that culture that understands how that culture works, how the person with autism, not with autism, but how the autistic person's mind works, how they process, how they might have anxiety, and how they might experience isolation, et cetera. So that's one of the main things I recommend. The other thing is to try to get as much experience as possible when it comes to vocation. So starting small, for example, working with a parent and doing a yard cleaning business or a pet sitting business or babysitting, working with an aunt or a relative or a faith house, volunteering in the child care, something to start building a portfolio of work experience. And that has several advantages, one being, of course, that you can list it on your resume and talk about it in interviews, et cetera. But it also builds confidence for that young individual, and it teaches them basic skills about being on time and communicating with bosses, et cetera. So those are the two things I typically recommend first, is the mentorship, getting some experience. And the third thing is connecting with online groups, whether it's through Facebook. My website has a lot of safe online groups on Facebook for those on the spectrum, or through meetup groups, or through a faith house, or through a homeschooling group. But getting those connections and being out there and part of the community itself, not related to work. And mm-hmm. I mean, some of people find that just in gaming, you know, gaming online, those types of things. And then the fourth thing would be something similar to what it sounds like you're doing and David is doing, is perhaps pulling in a professional, a life coach, a life guide, a vocational counselor, a therapist, someone who can lend a guiding hand to what is the next steps, what's this going to look like. And then I guess lastly, I should add attending conferences where there's other autistic people, especially autistic presenters and parents and their supporters, so you can network and get more resources.
I would add, just very briefly, echoing what Marcy said, I have a little bit different view on mentorship. I think we've used that word a lot in the last few decades, and I have nothing wrong with mentorship, but I think we need to go beyond that. I think that's what we formed my organization, Life Guides for Autism, around, in working with life guides. We're actually much more engaged. We equip, we engage, and we encourage. We're much more champions for autistic persons, because they don't need more advice. They need actual engagement. They need bridges built for them. So we're trying to do that. Additionally, I'm going to go back real quickly to that deficit model thinking. So there are a lot of services, some of them good, some of them not so good, mm-hmm. for autistic kids. But as you both know, by the time they're reaching that crest of that 18th year, 19th year, those services are drying up. So they're, they're finding themselves, families and autistic persons are finding themselves without any services, support mm-hmm. by the time they're hitting 20 years old. So I think it's absolutely critical to flip the model of deficit thinking on its head, to no longer see autistic persons as broken, ruined, you know, in need of, and fine, they have challenges, but let's start using strength-based assessments, which is what we do with Life Guides for Autism. Is we do strength-based assessments for all of our clients, and we start with that. Who are they at their core level, and what strengths do mm-hmm. they possess, and how can we intersect those strengths with possibilities for life socially, occupationally, and relationally?
Yeah, that was brilliant, yes. David. I agree. Yeah, and a mentor can be defined in many different ways. And when I was explaining mentor, I meant someone just like David was describing. Another thing I thought of when David was speaking is also it makes sense if you're part of a culture to understand that culture. So finding advocacy groups and self-empowerment groups, I list those on my website as well, such as People First, organizations that are on LinkedIn, Facebook, connecting with those and then reading autobiographies by actual autistic people to know that you're not alone and to recognize mm-hmm. yourself and understand yourself better, mm-hmm. or blogs. I have a list of over 100 blogs by different people on the spectrum on my site. Going through that, those ways and connecting and immersing yourself in the culture really helps with that isolation, but it also helps with networking and finding job mm-hmm. opportunities. I just started a new, that reminded me, I just started a new page on Facebook a couple weeks ago called Autism Net, and I created it to post jobs that come up for people that are on the autism spectrum, specifically agencies and organizations, companies that are looking for autistic people and neurodivergent people as a way, it's a free service, as a way for people to find out where there's internships, where there's job opportunities, whether remotely mm-hmm. or locally in the United States.
That is amazing
stuff.
Great.
Samantha, before you finish, Eli, I am getting lots of women who think they may be on the spectrum you know, really having questions about that. And I really love your little screening tool that you have. You have a little list of questions. It's interesting. I developed one that's very similar to that about the same time that you and Tanya Marshall developed hers. But can you tell people how to find your list of characteristics for those women who might be questioning?
Sure. Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. Yeah, the traits list has actually been translated in several languages. I had someone in Ecuador using it and someone in another country as well. If you Google or Bing my name, Samantha Kraft, and traits or everyday Asperger's, it should pop up as one of the main things. But you can also find it on my blog, Everyday Asperger's. It's a WordPress blog, and also Everyday Aspie is a WordPress blog. You can also contact me directly. I'll be glad to send it to you at Everyday Asperger's with an S at the end at gmail.com. You can friend me on Facebook at Everyday Asperger's or my Samantha Kraft author page, or find me on LinkedIn under Marcel Champy, and I'll gladly send the link to anyone that needs it.
Yeah, thank you. That's a huge need right now.
Yeah, also the Art of Autism site, they have my list listed there as well. That's an easier way might be to find it too.
That's a neat site too. People should check that out.
Yes, and differentbrains.org. I strongly recommend that site as well.
Oh, yes, that's
and
a good
David,
one too.
where can the listeners go to find more about you and the work that you're doing?
Yeah, thanks for that. You can go to, it's one word, neuro, as in mind, neuroguides.org, neuroguides.org, and that should give you a great description of our work, both with autistic individuals, adults, and also our availability for speaking. We're, Marcy and I are now doing corporate trainings, workshop trainings, and speaking about inclusivity of neurodivergent persons as opposed to just simple diversity. So,
mm-hmm.
Outstanding stuff from both of you. Continued success and to keep up all the great work that you're doing. You inspire so many people, you know, myself as an advocate being one. I really appreciate all the things that you all post here on social media. It helps me in my advocacy, and I'm sure it helps Tony as well. So feel free to come on the show anytime. You're always welcome, both of you. It has been a pleasure to have you on today, and I'm sure the listeners got a lot of great information that they can soak up, and I'm sure we'll be hearing from them soon. So I hope you all have a great week, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity and the platform, and I hope we can meet in person someday.
Thank you, guys.
It's going to happen.
It's a pleasure.
I promise you that.
Okay, have a great day, and we'll keep in touch and see you around social media.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was the great Samantha Kraft and J. David Hall. Great stuff, Tony. Great stuff.
No kidding. Yeah, I'm really excited about what they're doing. And it reminded me, you know, it's been so long since I've been here on the show. I forgot to tell the listeners, you know, we have my Ask an Aspie panel that we do, and the Charleston County Public Library actually hosted it on their series, and it went, so we went live across the state, and so we got to share our panel statewide, and we had a really good, a lot of people got to see that forum where we had six really amazing young adults on the spectrum talking about their experience and answering people's questions. That was a couple weeks ago. And then the week after that, the library sponsored a program that's done through my men's group called Traveling Through the Spectrum. And we did our first topic on autism and addiction. And so we it's open to the community, and anybody who wants to hear any of those topics can just, you know, show up to the library and hear the guys talking about, you know, topics of interest to the autism community. So that's something else that I'd forgotten to share with everybody, which is real exciting. So.
That's outstanding. That really is. And,
yeah.
And I know that you are always, you know, doing great things in the community and reaching folks. And I'm so blessed to have you as a co-host here on the show. What's the rest of your week look like? Are you busy? Have you settled in now?
So yeah, I've settled in a little bit, and I'm really actually going to spend some time focusing on my men's and women's groups, and really one of the things that's happened is that a lot of the women in the group have identified some need to have more information on dating and setting healthy boundaries and identifying, safety protocol in order to interact with people in a way that that keeps them safe. And so I'm going to be adding on a new aspect to the women's group where we'll have a little curriculum that we have that addresses that for those women who are interested in really, digging in and learning more about how to safely begin the process of, being in relationships with other people, whether that's dating or friendship. And so that I'll be focusing a bit on that. And that'll be fun and exciting. Setting up a schedule for the holidays, because we've got to juggle around everybody's holiday schedules. So that'll be happening. And so, Eli, I'm so excited to hear. It sounds like you've really been just steadily doing those things you've wanted to do now that you're in this new role. And so where does that take you coming up this weekend?
Things are progressing, slowly but nicely. I love the mm-hmm. pace. And again, I think, I have to continue to evaluate my mental health. I try to do that now more so than I ever have. And I feel like it's coming together. I just have to continue to trust the process on that. And this week, mm-hmm. again, it'll be, I think I've been so blessed with being able to go to the gym and kind of release a bit and work out and then get back and, mm-hmm. and do some things and answer some emails and work with my team on upcoming ideas and events. And so I'm excited about the coffee chat I'm going to have at the school this upcoming week on yeah. Friday. It'll be status quo as usual, nothing too much outside of the norm, but I'm slowly getting to that good place, and I think that's the most important thing to me is making sure that I get there, upbeat and able to process things freely. So things are on the up, my friend. Things are on the up. So I'm so glad that you're back and
me too.
As we close out the show today, I want to thank again Samantha Kraft and J. David Hall for being on. Lots of info there for the listeners to consume. And to everybody listening to the show today, get out in the community and make someone or something better. Put a smile on somebody's face. Doesn't take a lot of energy at all. It's pretty easy to do. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Tony and I are really appreciative. And it's glad to have Tony back. So until next week, take care. God bless. This has been the Elijah Winfrey Show on blogtalkradio.com. Bye-bye.